Nick Wilson back on Afternoon Drive. Great stuff with Nathan Zagura there. There's a lot there to talk about where we kind of left it with Nathan, but I'll say his analysis of DeJuan Jones at left tackle is 100% of where I've been. And it's less about DeJuan and it's more about Jet, because I don't know how in a locker room full, I don't think they hate Jet. So I don't want to paint it like that. But in a locker room full of professionals, I don't know how you how you trot a guy out there every single week that it is obvious, it is clear and obvious, he doesn't play through the whistle. And that's not me saying it, because, you know, when we talked about this last week and I said the easiest victory for Kevin Stefanski to have is to bench Jed Wills. And they have painted this as Jed was hurt last week. This team has lied to me once. I'm assuming they could lie here. I have to trust them as far as I can trust them. I don't really believe it. I think they understood that you can't win if there are several people on your team not playing at a high level and not playing up to their paycheck. And Jed Wills was no longer, oh, that 10th pick and he's going to grow into who he's. No, he's a fifth-year veteran making $15 million this year guaranteed. And so at some point I became, I'll take somebody with 60% of the talent that plays through the whistle. Because you can't be a veteran team with that much money on offense and have the offense let you down time and time again. Not when it comes to effort. Not when it comes to when Bill Callahan, I think it was 2 years ago, going into his fourth year, so it must have been last year, saying, yeah, we just need him to play through the whistle. That's his O-line coach saying, I don't trust this guy to play for 3 full seconds or 4 full seconds. So am I surprised it was DeJuan that pulled the sword from the stone? A little bit, because I didn't think they'd ever put him over there. I thought when they had ample opportunity to put DeJuan on the left side of the line, and they didn't, I thought that was our answer on whether they thought DeJuan Jones could be a left tackle. And out of necessity, they might have stumbled on to something that really, really works. Because one, it allows you to have Jack Conklin on the right side, and Jack is a prodigious right tackle talent. And two, DeJuan is on in what, year two of a 4-year deal, which is a rookie contract for a 4th-round pick. Which means you have probably another year before you have to pay that guy. That gives you more than enough time to evaluate him as a left tackle and as just a talent in general. But, man, it was tough not to watch DeJuan Jones play. And I know he had, what was that? Was that a false start early? But, like, so it wasn't perfect. And I think with DeJuan, I think DeJuan is one of the guys that does better with being coached as hard as humanly possible. So I think that's why you heard Kevin Stefanski today come out and be like, it wasn't perfect, but it was a nice first attempt there by DeJuan. He also might just be protecting the feeling of Jed Wills, who might not understand yet that he has been replaced at left tackle. But if they put Jed out there again at left tackle, guys, it's on them. It really is. And you don't ever wish for somebody to be Wally Pipless, and I think Jed is going to have a career in the NFL as long as he wants one. He'll be like the Juwan Taylors. He'll be like every one of those guys, like Trent Browns, because he is a massive human being. Maybe somebody will even try him at right tackle. Maybe that becomes better for him. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe the Browns bring him back next year as the right tackle. Don't. But who knows? But, like, I don't know how you watch yesterday's game and come away with any other interpretation of what you saw as give DeJuan Jones the rest of the season to continue building on habits at left tackle. Now, I don't know DeJuan could have done this 7 weeks ago. I think it has been underreported that DeJuan clearly wasn't ready or clearly wasn't where he needed to be with that knee injury. He also had knee surgery late last year. And it is probably why I gave him the out. I really did. For being pretty overweight going into camp. If your knee isn't right, it's hard to drop that weight. especially if you're a young player, especially if you're coming off a year where I think you surprised the NFL and maybe it really got high on the hog. There, we said it again. On some of the compliments that you got. That being said, it's open and shut. DeJuan Jones, Wally Pipp, Jed Wills yesterday. And if the Browns don't see that, we'll probably have some issues going forward. But I think yesterday, you know, we talked a lot about, to start the show, like how much of yesterday is bankable. Can we just start with this? The young players really did show up and play well. Nathan mentioned Diabate, the middle linebacker. It's a really nice player. I even think that Winston Reed kid, again, he's kind of like Diabate was last year, of a kid that you're just like, hey, that's just a good football player. But I think even more impressive than that was the wide receivers. And whether it was Cedric Tillman, who was open all day long, whether it was Jerry Jeudy, who kind of made plays. And honestly, guys, the more success you have, now it's when the Browns finally passed the evaluation stage of the offense. They have. So now it is, can you start to, you know, kind of marry things like pre-snap motion more to get opportunities to get Jerry Jeudy the ball when he's got nothing between him and the end zone? And the same thing with Elijah Moore. Those are your two guys with true game-breaking speed. Cedric Tillman also is going to get some touchdowns here. But, like, that's like the next step of this if you're going to build on this, because eventually the interceptions are going to come with Jameis, and you need to offset that with the adequate number of touchdowns, basically. So that's what that last touchdown play gave me hope for, that kind of over-the-top, just run it into the end zone. I think that's available for any one of the three best wide receivers. And that's only going to make David Njoku that much more dangerous as a guy who is still a really dangerous threat, but maybe isn't the speedster that he was 8 years ago when he came into the NFL. And that brings us to whether it is DeJuan Jones, whether it is Cedric Tillman and Jerry Jeudy and Elijah Moore, even Njoku, who's still relatively young. The next 9 games are about making this thing look as tempting as you possibly can to any quarterback that might be available in the NFL. Naturally, that takes us to the eyes of, like, veterans. Like, a week ago, Albert Breer was on with us and mentioned the name Matt Stafford. And I'll be honest with you, Matt Stafford isn't Matt Stafford anymore. Matt is a 36, 37-year-old version of himself. He's still good enough for you to win a lot of football games with. And I think we've oversimplified the quarterback conversation to such a bizarre degree. The next quarterback probably isn't going to be just one guy. The evolution of quarterback in Cleveland is probably going to have to be a multi-step process. And I don't know that you have the timeline like with Kansas City. Kansas City went, they traded for Alex Smith in 2013, and then they didn't address it again until the 2017 draft, which meant that they just gave Alex Smith 13, 14, 15, and 16 to be the quarterback and be as good as they possibly could. And the reason why that was intelligent, they knew they probably weren't going to win a Super Bowl with Alex, but it allowed them to sustain winning. And I believe those first 4 years with Alex Smith, they went 3-for-4 in the playoffs and they didn't have a losing season. I don't know you have the time to do that. I also don't know it's prudent to do a Kirk Cousins and a Michael Penix Jr., which Atlanta did this last year. But I think if we're starting to, whether this involves Jameis or not, I think yesterday proved the idea of you've got a lot of young talent around the quarterback position. And the more that you can showcase those guys over the next 9 games, the more likely it is that somebody who might be an outgoing quarterback, Matt Stafford's the only guy I can think about right now, but any situation where there's a young quarterback getting ready to usurp or to knock off a veteran quarterback, I don't know you'll have the space to get them. I don't know you'll have the assets to get them. In the end, you still might end up with the best chance to get a starting quarterback, and so you just take the guy this April, and they kind of move from there. But I think so much of why, like, Ayuk didn't want to come here. He didn't think he was going to get the touches necessary to get the yardage and get the next contract after this next contract. He didn't believe in the quarterback situation. I think there's now a lot of evidence to show, even in one game, that the situation around the quarterback is going to give whatever quarterback steps in here, even if it's Jameis, even if it's Matt Stafford, which still feels far-fetched, even if it's a rookie, let's say a Shedeur Sanders, that'd go a long way to kind of make a Deion Sanders realize what's possible here instead of steering his kid away. Or it's going to make a veteran looking for that next spot, maybe that last stop. It's going to make this space a lot more interesting and a lot more doable and a lot more attractive. 216-474-0092. Did yesterday change your opinion on some of the young guys on this roster? I am eyes open with DeJuan Jones here on out. Same thing with Tillman, same thing with Judy, same thing with Elijah Moore. And one NFL quarterback proves honesty is not always the best policy. 92.3 The Fan.